heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The resources that we talk about on the broadcast can be found at our address on the web, equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. This weekend was bittersweet for me as we laid my mother to rest. And I had the opportunity, along with other family members, to speak at my mother's funeral and to remember her legacy, which is an incredible legacy. I recalled the fact that all of my siblings are deeply committed to the Lord. That's a great legacy. But not only that, every one of their spouses is deeply committed to the Lord. And as I looked around a packed church, packed with family members, I looked at those who had embraced Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life. And I think about many of my parents' siblings in Holland who do not know the Lord. And I'm also reminded that in this life, we have a commission. That commission is to make a difference while there is yet time. My mother can do no more. She is now with that great cloud of witnesses. But we can run the race marked out for us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. As I explained to everyone present, you know, the greatest eventuality is still on the horizon for my mother, because she is absent the body, present with the Lord. But when Jesus appears a second time, her body, the body that I watched lowered into the ground, a very emotional moment for me, that body will arise. There's continuity between the body that dies and the body that rises. Her soul will be rejoined with an immortal, imperishable, resurrected body. And therefore, as Scripture tells us, comfort one another with these words. A lot of you are hanging on, so let me go right to the phone calls. First up is Dawn, listening in Winter Springs, Florida, on the web. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Hank. I am so beyond words honored to get to talk to you again. I had the blessing and privilege to talk to you last week, to just express my love to you and my deepest heartfelt condolences for your beautiful mom, and I cannot do both enough as well. And I'm so sorry to bother you again. I have two questions actually. I'll ask them quickly, and if it's okay to elaborate more, you let me know. I was wondering if you can please pray for my amazing and wonderful daddy, who was my best friend, and he means absolutely everything to me. He was recently diagnosed with stage 4B lung cancer, and so I was wondering if you could pray for him. He's actually here with me, and also I live with him. He's, like I said, cannot emphasize enough just how indescribable he means to me. And also, I've asked him to, your daughter, actually, Christina, actually just like deeply touched my heart, because I know she got a cross tattoo. I asked my daddy to design a tattoo for me. He's an artist. The cancer ate away the bone of his right arm, but he got a rod in it. But he designed a tattoo for me prior to this. And I'm on it. I want to put his favorite scripture verse, which is John 3:16, and I want to put your favorite scripture verse, if you feel comfortable letting me know, because my hope and my heart is to honor Christ with it. If someone sees it, to honor Christ with it and to share about my daddy and to share about you and your ministry. And because I know I expressed this last week, but you'll never know fully this side of eternity, like the just how measurably and beyond any words you have touched and impacted my life.
Well, let's pray for your dad. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this moment in time to lift up Don's father. Lord, you knit him together in his mother's womb. He's fearfully and wonderfully made. All the days ordained for him written in your book before even one of them came to be. Oh, Lord, I pray for peace to descend upon Dawn and her father, knowing that nothing comes to us before it passes through the filter of your grace and your love. And so I do pray for peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, we thank you so much for Dawn's deep desire to honor you with her mind and even with her body. And Lord, we know that even a marking like a cross on a wrist can be a testimony to your presence and to your power. And so we pray that you would allow Dawn to testify in this way, that people would be drawn to that marking and ask a question, and that Dawn might, through that point of contact, be able to lead people into your presence. And Lord, we do look forward to a time in which there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Lord, we commit Dawn's father as well as Dawn to you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, Hank, I cannot thank you enough. You have no idea. Like, you literally have hugged and embraced both our souls and my dad as well as right here. And thank you. And your prayers for a miracle would mean absolutely everything to me. And literally, I cannot emphasize enough. I will listen to your words over and over and over again. Oh, my God. May God bless you in ways that exceed my ability to ever put to words. And if you feel comfortable letting me know your favorite scripture verse so I could put that on this tattoo and honor you, I would be so beyond.
Yeah, and let me just say real quickly about that, Dawn. I love so much of scripture, but there's a particular passage that I've been using over and over again as I sign letters. I'll sign them and put in parentheses 1 Timothy 4:16, which is, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Absolutely beautiful. I thank you with all of my heart for telling me. It's beautiful. I love it.
Thank you, Hank. Thank you so much.
We love you, Hank, truly with every fiber of our being. We love you. And I hug you right now. Like, I pray you literally feel my heart hugging yours right now and always, because I always am. And I'm praying you, we pray for you constantly, unceasingly, all the time.
Well, thank you. And let me add to my prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, if it is your will, please heal Don's father. Lord, you can heal him instantaneously. Nothing is impossible for you, or you can heal him in eternity. You know what's best for Don's father. So may they be in your loving care, and as I feel their presence, may they feel ours, as there are many, many more people across the world, even at this moment, praying for them. We commit all of this to you again in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, an emotional moment right here on the broadcast. But it does show the power of the media outlets that we have, where we can pray for people, and other people all around the world know about it and are praying for those people as well. There are a lot of people, speaking of people going through persecution as we speak, and that's why this month we dedicated it to resources that make us aware of persecution being the lot of the Christian. I watched this weekend, once again, Paul, Apostle of Christ. I commend it to you with every fiber of my being. It is available for those who support the ministry. Check the other resources out at equip.org, and we'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. 888-ASK-HANK.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. InterVarsity, one of the largest collegiate associations in the country, has been derecognized on a growing number of college campuses for believing in traditional morals. In 2014, Brendan Eich, CEO of Mozilla and creator of JavaScript, was forced from his position just for having donated $1,000 to California's Proposition 8, a ballot initiative limiting marriage to a man and a woman. A plethora of such examples demonstrate that a tsunami of secularism has been unleashed, and we've not yet seen its high watermark. To equip you for the days ahead, read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for supporting the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Bring up religion or politics in a conversation, and often people stop being reasonable and demonize those who disagree with them. Fortunately, there are certain skills you can develop that will lead to civil discussions. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Thank you. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And we'll go back to our callers. Mike is next, listening in Rockland, California on the web. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Hank. Hey, why did God command the Israelites to annihilate the Canaanite people? And which specific books of the Old Testament can I look at that for more research?
Well, I've written about this in various places, including a book called Has God Spoken? But in brief, let me simply say that a text without a context, as I've said so many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is a pretext. So you always have to look at God's commands to destroy the nations that are inhabiting the promised land of Canaan, not in isolation, but in the context in which they're given. And if you look at the context, what you'll see is that God is saying to break down their altars, to burn their idols in the fire. So the aim of God's command was not the obliteration of the wicked, but the obliteration of wickedness. And we know that for a lot of different reasons. And let me say, first and foremost, that the civility of the Mosaic Law is a whole lot more significant than what our culture reflects. In other words, if you look at the Canaanites, you will see that here you have a nation of people who are sacrificing their sons and their daughters in the fire. In other words, they're literally burning them. They're putting them in the glowing arms, the fiery red hot, or white hot, I should probably say, arms of gods like Molech and Baal. And so we can in some way relate to that even with abortion and with the outcries against anyone who would say anything demeaning about our current abortion laws. There's a great similarity. So, but even if people can't grasp that, imagine the way in which women were being treated, in which people were being annihilated in a lot of ways. Well, they had 400 years before the acts of God's judgment fell, but finally the wickedness was such a stench in heaven that God, for his own purposes, took action. But as the author of Hebrews explains, it wasn't unilateral. For example, we know by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies into the land of Canaan, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. And not only were Rahab and her family spared on account of faith, but she was also allowed to live among the Israelites. And you see that in Joshua chapter 6, I believe, in particular. And as I've noted many times on the show, you have people like Rahab who come to hold a privileged position in the lineage of Jesus Christ, very much like Ruth, who was a Moabite, and the Moabites were the arch enemy of Israel. So again, it's not about your nationality, it's ultimately about your spirituality. Those who believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, were most certainly spared. And we see this even in the stench that went up to heaven with respect to Nineveh. It was so great, their wickedness was so pronounced, that God sends Jonah. And Jonah wants judgment to fall, but God relents because they repent, the Ninevites, from the king all the way through the populace. They repent and God relents. Jonah's the one who gets mad, but God relents and he stays his hand of judgment. So it's cursings for those who are disobedient and blessings for those who turn in repentance to God. And let me say one other thing in this regard. God unequivocally commanded Israel to treat aliens, including aliens like the Canaanites, who were living among them with respect and equality. And so you see in Scripture, Numbers chapter 9 and 15, I believe, where you have foreigners celebrating Passover along with the Israelites. And by the way, this makes sense because in the Exodus itself, it was a mixed multitude. And I've mentioned a number of times what you read in Esther. When you see Israel being saved or Jews being saved from certain destruction under Haman, on that day, many different people came to faith in Christ. So people from all kinds of nations came to believe in Yahweh, the God of Israel, ultimately revealed in Jesus Christ. As a result of that, they were brought into all the types and shadows pointing forward to Jesus Christ. So even descendants of Israel's enemies were allowed to enter the assembly of the Lord, and God condemned oppression of aliens in the harshest possible manner. So again, all of that is simply to bring a little context to people who read Mosaic laws but don't read them within the intended context.
Right. Okay, can you transfer me over to someone like him so I can buy that book, please?
Yeah. Hang on. Someone will pick up. And the book that I'm talking about is Has God Spoken? And I think this is an important book for a number of reasons. The first reason is that it demonstrates that the Bible is a reliable authority. Many people, when you mention the Bible in polite companies, simply roll their eyes in exasperation because they no longer believe the Bible is true. You can demonstrate that these are the words of God, a reliable authority. But beyond that, you can take the next step, and that step is to not only demonstrate that the Bible is a reliable authority, but teach people or learn yourself how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. You know, I want to say something in this broadcast about truth. I am quite burdened as I read the newspaper every morning. I listen to news accounts. The truth has been thrown to the wind. It is utterly astonishing. We should perhaps not be astonished, but I am oftentimes astonished when I see what is happening in our culture. We live in an age in which internet fabrications travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on, an age in which accusations do not need to be vetted or verified. People's reputations can be destroyed, and this is not frowned upon. It is applauded. And in that context, I hear Paul's words as they ring down through the centuries. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. As our waist is the center of our bodies, so truth is central to a Christian worldview. Without it, the covering that protects us from the devil's scheme, well, it simply crumples to the ground, leaving us naked and vulnerable, not only us, but whole cultures, when truth is abdicated. You know, truth, like the other pieces of the armor, is an aspect of the nature of God Himself. And therefore, to put on the belt of truth is to put on Christ, for Christ is truth. And as Christians, we are not called to capitulate to the culture, but to be revolutionaries in the culture. And this is particularly important when it comes to truth, because Christians themselves oftentimes have abdicated truth. They have been involved in all kinds of conspiracy theories. And, you know, you think about Christians under the guise of truth communicating legends like Darwin's deathbed conversion or boycotting Procter & Gamble because of its present allegedly confessing its company's ties to Satanism. Not checking it out, but simply perpetuating lies. The moment we drop the belt of truth, our view of reality becomes seriously skewed. The belt of truth is absolutely essential to our realistic worldview. When its buckle breaks, the covering crumples. Reality is clouded, and the unthinkable happens very much as it is happening in our culture today. I was reading Ezra in the longer canon, where God made all things, where His truth is great and stronger than all things. All the earth summons the truth, and heaven blesses it. for all his works shake with fear and tremble. And there's nothing unjust with him. But wine is unjust, the king is unjust, women are unjust, all the children of the men and their works are unjust, and all such things are unjust, for there is no truth in them. So they will perish in their injustice. But the truth abides and is strong forever. The truth lives and rules unto ages of ages. There is no partiality or prejudice with the truth, but it does righteous things, distinct from all wrongdoings and evil. All are pleased with its deeds, but there's nothing unjust in its judgment. For strength, dominion, authority, and majesty belong to it unto all ages. And blessed is the God of truth. And that is the quote of the day, a reminder that we are called to be bearers of truth. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. My faith versus my job. My faith versus my social standing. My faith versus my future. For more and more Christians, notes Mary Eberstadt, such either-or thought experiments aren't theoretical exercises. They are constant real-life companions. Houston pastors were subpoenaed to turn over any sermons mentioning gender identity or the mayor. A U.S. Marine in North Carolina was court-martialed, discharged, and denied military benefits for posting on her office computer, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The Christian Research Institute is here to equip you to act against the growing secular onslaught. Read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe: Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your support. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org.